الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشي الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العطاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحي. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Firstly, we should, the present conditions of the Ummah, whether it is Afghanistan also, the earthquake in Herat, and for the sign, we all should attach ourselves with that and make dua. The hadith says that the whole ummah is like a human body. If one part of the body, just your small toe feels some pain or something, every part of the body is a working body. The eyes will look at it, the tongue will speak about it, the brain will think what must be done, the dua will make heart, the heart will make dua, however the whole body will be engaged. Like that, for the whole ummah we should also be concerned. Any pain and dukh in the ummah anywhere, we should also feel that pain. And if we are not feeling that pain, then we have to check our iman. Are we part of the body or are we not part of the body? Why am I not feeling the pain? And then also we should also understand, we shouldn't be superficial. All the problems which there are, the dunya's problems, when difficulties like the bombing, children becoming orphans, what terrible conditions. But worse conditions are that the ummah is not making namaz. The yaqeen and the iman of the ummah is so weak, and we don't feel anything about that. The real problem, the real basic fundamental thing, and we are not worried. We are just worried of the superficial thing. The dunya is the superficial thing. The real thing is the deen. How much are we worried of that of the ummah? That the vast majority of the ummah are not making namaz. Do we even make one dua for that? That Allah blesses the ummah with namaz. And the rest of Islam also, the rest of deen also. So we should have that concern. That by doing that, we will be building our iman. And as I say, if it is not, then we have to check our own iman. When the condition of the ummah is so poor and so weak, and I don't feel anything about it. And for that, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, in his lifetime also, how many 70 huffaz, their enemies had murdered them at one time. Of course, he felt it also. But his whole life's mission was for iman and Islam, for namaz, for deen.
So how much of that concern have we got?
Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq.
And for that, when we do have the concern,
it must be in the right way also.
A person, his horse got stolen, somebody stole his horse. He came to know it is by a certain person who stole it, and it was in his yard. So he went at night, jumped over the fence to go and get his own horse. He was doing the right thing, but he was doing it the wrong way. So that person reported, called the police, and they caught him for trespassing. He didn't get his own horse, but he was trespassing now. So he did the right thing, but he did it in the wrong way. So we are also, with regard to the condition of the ummah, we have to do what we have to do it, but do it in the right way also. All this marching and that, man and woman mixing, no condition of namaz, all the wrong things, how many? There is no limit to the wrong thing. Is that going to draw Allah's rahmat, or is it going to bring more of Allah's azab? And then the problem is in Palestine, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, we are putting Allah's problem here for us now. We are drawing Allah's problem, Allah's azab for us, when we are doing all this wrong thing, man and woman mixing, etc. And there's no limit and no end to all the haram that is taking place. And worse it is in the name of deen, and the name of getting Allah's help. So doing all the what we have to be doing, but in the total wrong way. So we have to be very careful of that also. And we should see that which direction are we going, and where are we go? What type of Muslims are we? What type of human beings are we? Which direction are we going? Allah Ta'ala give us proper understanding. So we all should make our du'as, and the real du'as which will have effect are our own individual du'as. And for that also let us think, each one of us as we are sitting here, that which 1 minute, 2 minute slot I got in my 24 hours for du'a. Have I got a time fixed for du'a? Which is my time to make du'a? The Hajjur time, if I'm not getting up the Hajjur, before Maghrib, 2-3 minutes, or even after Farz Namaz. Usually after Farz Namaz, we say we make du'a, but this is just a customary thing. Even the Imam, he's just nice tone, he's making some du'a. His mind also is not at all in the du'a, and the followers also, their mind is not in the du'a. And du'a is not there. That du'a of ours is there. And we are looking around, playing with our beard, etc. And we seeing somebody, a friend, not only we wink eyes, we even waving in the du'a. Can we call that a du'a? So when have we got time for du'a? The 2 minutes. And this time, in this crucial time, are we giving some time for du'a? We might have some khadams, etc. That all sounds very nice, etc. But the real thing is every individual is real concerned, and he's making du'a to Allah. It can be also done, and it should also be done while we are walking around, while we are driving, we are making du'as also. But that certain slot for my du'a, when is that time I've got? If we haven't got, fix a time. That every day, whatever time, 5 minutes for du'a. We ourselves are, and du'a is a measurement of our iman also. If it is our conviction, I do things. I will do this, I will get that done. I will phone here, I will do that. Then we don't need du'as. I'm my own God, my own Allah. I am in charge of things. But if we have that yaqeen, that Allah is in charge, and I can do nothing, then it is just unnatural that we'll have time to beg Allah. That Allah, do this for me, do that for me. So that is a sign whether what the condition of our iman. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and to take out the time and make real du'a from the bottom of our heart for all these conditions, and more than that, and even these present conditions. This is only the superficial, the condition. Whatever is very terrible, we all feel hurt. We know how dreadful it is. What terrible conditions the poor people are going through. No food, no water, no light. One alim writes, he says now, oh, they're off Palestine. He says, we are just waiting for Maut to come now. We have got no water to drink, we have got no food to eat, we have got nothing. But what is the cause of these problems here? That also we don't see. We only see the superficial thing. Like a person throws a stone at a dog, the dog is an animal, he's a dog, it's not an animal of respect. We say, we use it for a bad term. You like a filthy dog, we use it for a bad thing. But the dog also, it will just give a glance to the stone, and it will go to the person who threw the stone. It also knows the stone is not the problem, but the one who threw the stone, he's the problem. And he will come barking to you, he will attack you, he knows where it is. But we don't seem to even think where the problem is coming from. All these problems, we have to see our condition. Whatever we send up, and it's a common law that evaporation takes place, water condensation takes place, and then the water comes down again, our amal go up. And according to our amal, halat and conditions come down. So these things are not just happening at random, haphazardly, just for nothing it is happening. And that we are not concerned about. The shabbub in kuffar is so widespread in the ummah, that is imitating the West, imitating the kuffar. Our whole lifestyles have become, our children, we grow them up like that. The whole education system, our holiday system, everything, our houses, everything is according to the kuffar pattern. And when a person, your own person who is, your employee is working in your shop, but he's doing everything and he's copying your opposition, and he's doing everything like your opposition, how long, you won't tolerate him for a second also. You'll get rid of him. When we are doing everything according to the enemies of Allah Ta'ala, and then we want the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, and openly and brazenly we are following the ways of the kuffar, and the others mixing with them so freely. Allah has warned so many ayats of the Quran, do not associate with the non-believers. Don't keep bosom friendship with them. Don't socialize with them for necessity. Then that is necessity, is a necessity. It's not a thing covetous, enjoyable. As a necessity where you have to mix with them. You mix with them for business sake, etc. But not something that you look forward to. For that the permission is given, and that is not that you are encouraged, and that you, it is a very good work. It is just that you dislike it, but you have to. Permission is given for that. And but how much we have got contact with non-Muslims, whether it's our children at schools, and how many of our children going to missionary schools, where with all the missionary things they are so much involved, at the workplace we are so much involved with them, so much, and then they are our friends. We are going for holidays with them. It's common nowadays that and unfortunately the haram of boys and girls, Muslims, non-Muslims, all in the sports, all that together. In all the holidays there, we are openly inviting the wrath and the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. It is only the clemency, the mercy, the kindness of Allah, and Allah, the du'as of buzurgs, of Nabi Ali Salatu Islam, great, great people in the ummah. And presently those people who are crying to Allah, that Allah is showing His mercy. And in fact it comes clearly in the hadith, that we have brought such conditions that Allah's azab should come down. But because Allah takes mercy on the animals, forget buzurgs, because of the animals, Allah doesn't send that azab down. So because of somebody else, even the animals, because of them, they will suffer. Allah sees it that. But when it goes over the limit, then it comes down here in this world also. And also remember all the conditions of the world, those are not the real conditions. The real conditions are the akhirah. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرُجِعُونَ. Allah says, we make them taste of the small punishment. All this in the dunya for us is the end of all. The worst things that are happening. But these are absolutely nothing compared to what it will be in the Akhirah. The dunya is not the place of results. Result is in the Akhirah. But to end, sometimes Allah punishes in the dunya also. Sometimes Allah punishes in the dunya. Sometimes Allah gives good conditions in the dunya for the good that is done. But the real place for that is the real manifestation, the real place is the Akhirah. And unfortunately, almost none of us, our minds go to the Akhirah. Only here in this dunya when difficult was, oh, now Palestine, what terrible condition, how much of zunam, undoubtedly it is. But these are very small, very small. And with regard to Palestine itself, Masjid al-Aqsa, in the 15th Supara, after the first two or three ayat, then Allah explains till the end of the ruku, or the system of Allah's working with regard to Masjid al-Aqsa. When we Allah says that وَإِن تَعُدْ نَعُدْ, if you return, we return. And both meanings, you return with good action, we return with good conditions. You come with bad conditions, we hit down with also terrible conditions. That is Allah's system. And when good conditions come and everything is going well, but we turn again to the disobedience of Allah, Allah sends His punishment again. And the history of Masjid al-Aqsa is filled, not before Islam also, long before, that there Allah showed whenever the people disobeyed Allah, Allah sent His worst punishment. Allah sent the kuffar, the non-believers, and they desecrated Masjid al-Aqsa. They came with all their boots and the army people. And they destroyed the Torah, they desecrated the Torah. They completely killed the people, left, right and center, took them as slaves. Huge, huge amount of people took them as slaves. And Allah was watching this, and it was all by the will and command of Allah. Allah said, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا. Allah Ta'ala sent the worst punishment, worst sinners, to punish the people who are the less sinners. Allah uses the big sinners of the world to punish the smaller sinners. That is Allah's system in this world. So it will happen. So Allah give us tawfiq to see things in the right light and to correct ourselves. And every individual, how much we correct ourselves, it will have a good result for us, for the people around us, for the whole world, and for the generations to come. And if we go in the wrong direction, it will have destruction for us, for people around us, and for generations afterwards. And Allah has made it so clear, and He sent His choicest servants, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and He made them go through what difficulties. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on the occasion of Ta'i, when he was made to leave Makkah Sharif and go away from Makkah Sharif, the journey itself in Medina Sharif, the Munafiqeen, the Jews, every, how lot of trouble they got, but they tolerated all this for that we can come right. But we just don't seem to be worried of at all. Allah give us tawfiq to understand and see the things in the right perspective. On one occasion, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explains that this Sikhs, the Sikhs, what religion they follow? Anyway, the Sikhs, those people who keep their very long beard, they don't cut their beard, they don't touch the hair of their, any hair of their body, whole life. So you can imagine this beard, they curl it, and put it inside. Anyway, they, in their great love for their Guru Nanak, their leader, they keep this beard like this. And many of them are in Europe, are in America. They are in the service of the government, in army, etc. And according to the those countries, you are not allowed to keep a beard when you are in the army service, etc. Other government service, you are not allowed to keep a beard. But they fight court cases. And they win those court cases. It's our, we got religious freedom. And this is our religious practice. We must be allowed to keep it. So our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, when they, and on Qiyamah Day, when they will be presented that in their love and obedience of their Guru Nanak, They went and tried court cases and they kept that beards of theirs, all that long hair, and which is dirty also, because so long, how are they going to wash in the crevices of their hair? And dirt gets through every part. But they fought. And if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, oh my ummati, what stopped you from following my sunnah? There was no law against you also. Nobody forced you, nothing. They were forced by the government, but they went and tried court cases. And they won the court cases and they kept their beards and they tried carried on. Oh my ummati, who stopped you? Didn't you have that amount of love what they got for their false love for the Guru Nanak? And they follow him and they keep their beard. What answer would we have? Also a very important point to notice, this whole religion of the Sikhs is also first the originals, they were Muslims. They were proper Muslims. But then when they deviated and they went wrong, and they went on the wrong path, it finally became a complete religion of its own. Like for example, the Shias is a religion of its own, but they still call themselves Muslims. The Qadianis is a religion of its own, it's not Islam, but they call themselves, but these people, they went so astray that they did not even call themselves Muslims. And they got their own religion. So important it is that we stick to the Sunnah and to the deen of Allah Ta'ala so firmly and rigidly. Otherwise, we can also go off track. And Allah protect us. Like whoever this originator was of this religion of the Sikh, he was a Muslim. And then he went off. And today, all the wrong they are doing, all that sin is on him also. And on the day of Qiyamah, we all got enough of our own gunas. And when we'll be put on full sirat, and our gunas will be loaded on us. How are we going to carry that load? Yeah, a small load we can't carry there on full sirat. And we'll have to carry that load of our guna and other. So also it comes in the Hadith Sharif. The worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah will be for three types of people. The one will be, and this is on the day of Qiyamah. Jahannam is afterwards. That punishment is worse on the day of Qiyamah, this punishment. One will be that person who a Nabi had killed. A Nabi came as Sarapai Rahmat. Rahmat, only mercy. A Nabi won't kill anyone. Where it was necessary also, a Nabi will appoint somebody else and tell him you kill that person. But he doesn't do it. But where a Nabi had to kill, you can imagine what a terrible condition that person must be, that a Nabi killed him. A Nabi who was mercy through and through and only wants good, but he had to kill somebody. So you can imagine how terrible. Or a person who kills a Nabi. A Nabi came only for goodness. He didn't want anything else. He didn't ask for our money. He didn't ask for any favors from us. He didn't anything from us. Only for our goodness. And somebody killed such a Nabi. And the Bani Israel were guilty of killing so many Anbiya alayhi salam. Anyway, that will be one of the worst punishments. The second is for those people who are the leaders of evil, who lead people on the wrong the way. So how terrible that guna will be. It's equated with death of killing a Nabi, or who a Nabi had killed. The people who lead people on the wrong way. And unfortunately, how many people today, learned people, are taking the ummah completely in the wrong direction. All these marches and things. Open, brazenly breaking the laws of Allah, and worse, claiming it to be service to Islam. They are doing, and which march till today had stopped any war or the killing of the people, whether it was wars against Muslim countries, wars against non-Muslims, and all the marches, what do you think? That's not the way at all. The way is that a person turns to Allah and seeks the help of Allah. And the third category of people who will be given this worst punishment are the people who make photos. The photography, the people who make photos in whichever means you make it. And today with the cell phone, smartphone, we know how easy it is and how any and everyone gets tempted. Whether it is any animate object, whether you just see the cat sleeping nicely, peacefully, and now he just comes to you, let me take a photo. That also, whatever it is, worse, the Qurbani is today not only photos taken, videoed the whole Qurbani. And how many, the whole Hajj is videoed also. And you're reading Salatul Salam and you are video, making selfies. Where have we gone? And the worst punishment, and this is equated with the person who are in Nabi killed. How terrible that guna is. Photography's guna is also that making of pictures. And who Nabi kills or who kills a Nabi. So let us understand how serious this guna is. And it's so right. And also, how many of us, we will not be involved in that taking of photos, but we try and cover up. There are two views. That there is another view also. And we become mild on that. And we associate with those people freely. If a person is a drug addict, a drug dealer, do we will we associate with him? Will we allow our family to go there? If in our neighborhood there are people who are the woman selling themselves, there's a house where all this haram is carrying on. Will we allow our woman to frequent that house? Go there, keep friends with them, and also take presents for them, and meet with them, etc. We'll keep what a distance we keep from those people. But the people who are doing worse gunas of that, as far as Aqidah is concerned, as far as our Iman and Islam is concerned, we are still keeping good family, good ties with those people. We associate with them, we talk with them, we laugh and joke with them. Allahu Akbar, where have we gone? So Allah Ta'ala guide us to righteousness, inshallah. In this ayat kareema, Nabi Kareem, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ O Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam announce and say to the people that if you love Allah Ta'ala, or you want the love of Allah, or you are claiming the love of Allah, the criteria of all that is, فَاتَّبِعُونِ Follow in my footsteps, the footsteps of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. That is the criteria of the love of Allah. Like that, anyone can claim, I love Allah very greatly. And he makes no namaz also. And he says, the love is in my heart. And he does all the wrong things also. But the criteria, the proof of it, لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقًا Every word has got a reality of it. There must be a proof for it. Whatever you say, you must have a proof for it. So the proof of the love of Allah, and that should be a thing which must be natural in a person. Then Allah Ta'ala well, created the creation and Allah presented himself to his creation and asked Alastu bi Rabbikum and the beauty of Allah everyone, all of us has seen. And not only voluntarily, not only emphatically, but with great desire, conviction, with great enjoyment, release, we said, Bala, O Allah, you are our Allah. That who is there for me besides you? You my only one. You everything to me. That you are my creator, everything. So a person who has that within him, that love which is there, the proof of that love is, Allah made the rule, and Allah is the absolute. He has put the criteria, فَاتَّبِعُونِ اِتْتِبَاءِ سُنَّةِ The following of sunnah, that is the proof that how much of love you have of Allah Ta'ala. And when you do that, Allahu Akbar, that is your proof for the love of Allah, but and then in return of that, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Allah will love you. You will love Allah. Allah will love you. And Allah make it we can apply our minds a little bit and think what it is. We know love. You love your children, what don't you do for them? You break rules for your children. You love your wife. The wife loves her husband. We'll go out of our way. Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali has written an incident, middle of the night, one wife woke up and telling her husband, I'm feeling so thirsty, man. I really just want some water. So he said, go to the kitchen and get the water, drink water. So he said, who is going to get up now, get out of the bed, go to the kitchen and all that. Then after a little while, he told her, now you spoke about water and thirst, I'm feeling thirsty now. Immediately she jumped up and she went and bring water. When she brought it, he told her, you drink it now. And he made her a hila, a way before. For his sake, she was prepared to go. For her own sake, she wasn't prepared to go. For his sake, she was prepared to go. And then she became very angry also. You made me, you got me to get up and go. And it was for herself. So love is such a thing that you'll do anything. A mother, who was middle of the night, she will wash her child, clean her child, and then to sleep she'll put the child on the dry bed, a dry part of the bed, and the mess part of the bed she'll sleep there. All because of the love of the child. And after 2 minutes the child makes another big mess. And she will shout or something, but she'll clean him again. That is love, it moves mountains from its place. If we get the love of Allah, today the love of Allah means nothing to us also. We all made our Isha, we should have done it with love for us.
Allah.
Our Ruku, our Sajda, with the love of Allah, that is a Namaz. We hardly made Namaz. We hardly in Deen stuff. We haven't got any idea what Deen is and what the love of Allah Ta'ala is. And we don't want to come near it also.
Allah.
And this you won't get from Darul Ulum. You won't get from the Masjids, not from Tabligh Jamaat. You will get it from those people who have got it.
Allah.
That is in the Khanqa. Those where you make an effort, where you make your dhikr, and it looks like outwardly, especially people with modern and minds of dunya, that dhikr we wasting our time. But you spend your time in that dhikr, and you keep on doing it, then the love of Allah slowly starts coming
Allah.
In the heart. And whoever gets a little bit idea of the love of Allah, he will know that my big, big businesses and my big, big homes and whatever else I've got, this is absolutely nothing.
Allah.
The love of Allah is the greatest thing. And Allah proved it. That Allah showed it. For example, 70 people became shuhada in the battle of Uhud. And what was that? Allah could let deen spread without a drop of sweat falling, without any difficulty. It's all in Allah's hand. But Allah wanted to show, in the love of Allah, 70 Sahaba and Sayyidu Shuhada, Hazrat Hamza and Hazrat Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, how many times expressed his grief that his uncle had also become a Shaheed. Allah wanted all this, and as our Shaykh Rahmatullah said, they wrote the love of Allah with the blood of Shahada. So much they loved Allah, and Allah wanted to show the world till Qiyamah, my love is so great that people will give their blood. But today, we are not even, our thoughts we are not prepared to give to Allah. We don't want to concentrate also. We'll concentrate on guna in our namaz. But we won't concentrate on Allah. We'll concentrate on haram sports, on all haram things we'll think about. But we won't want to think about. To think about Allah is boring for us. To think about Allah Ta'ala is undesired. We don't find the enjoy. We haven't got an idea what the love of Allah Ta'ala is. So that is what we have to make. And this all is when we will come get connected with Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. So Allah says the criteria for that is Ittiba'i Sunnah. And when you have Sunnah in your life, then you will come close to Nabi. Then you will get the love of Allah. You will get the tawfiq of the sunnah, and then the love of Allah. Ulama has written that a person who reads Durood Sharif, right? There are those Buzurgs also, as we read Quran and we pass the sawabs to other people. We make nafal namaz, we pass the sawab also. Other acts of charity, qurbani time, we pass the sawab to other people. Durood Sharif also, the Buzurgs of the past, they should read huge amounts of Durood Sharif. And then pass it on to other Buzurgs that have passed, people who have passed away. So that act of passing of Durood Sharif, isal sawab. And in that comes in also, they read the Durood Sharif. So this recitation of Durood Sharif This is such a thing that it generates the love of the sunnah. And the love of sunnah brings sunnah into our lives. And we must not be fooled also, we must make shukr. We have got outward sunnah, our dressing, lot of people, beard, kurta, etc. But that is not the end of it. Let us not think that that is all the sunnah. The actual sunnah, for example, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when you go and sleep at night, clear your heart of malice, hatred, jealousy for any and every. Have a clear heart when you go and sleep. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that is my sunnah. And a person who follows my sunnah and all the great virtues, so those sunnahs also. Today we have got rancor, jealousy, bad feeling for our wife that is right next to us. For our parents, how many we've got, we don't want to see the faces of our parents also. Parents want to see their children also. Forget other people, outside people. But on the same token, the kuffar, we keep good friends with them. With our own people, we have this enmity. But with the kuffar, we have got a lot of good words for them. And we keep friends with them. So anyway, so this Durood Sharif, recitation of Durood Sharif, it will produce within a person the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And when the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes into a person's life, not just the outward, and just outward and we feel that we are in sunnah, or we make the people impress them that we are in sunnah. No, the reality of the sunnah. When that will come, then we'll get the love of Allah Ta'ala. That is the criteria Allah Ta'ala has kept. And the sunnah, let us just see for a little bit. We are all in Islam. But let us see how much of Islam is in us. For example, our namaz, today was Jummah. Each one of us, see, how many of us made our 5 times namaz of today? From last night Maghrib till today Asr. How many of us made it with Jamaat? To make it with Jamaat is part of Islam. Unless there was really some valid reason, it's a different thing. How many of us made it in Safi Ula, in the first Saf? Or are we just not worried? Just when I come, when I go, I will make. How many of us made our namaz with Takbir-e Ula? All this is in Islam. We are in Islam, but are these things in our life? And then in namaz, how many of us, our outward postures were that? So, the surf, we're standing straight on the surf, etc. Raising of the hands correctly, etc. Or we just not thinking. Just what is habitual, we just carrying on like that. How many of ours, our namaz are according to sunnah? Whereas Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Make your namaz as you saw me making my namaz. Our namaz must be on the pattern of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And if we are going off course 1 degree or a minute part of a degree, this will be further. As parents, our children will go further away. As we start, our students will go further away. How much are we on the sunnah? And then in the namaz, where namaz is in Islam. And how much, what were our concentration in namaz? We fail hopelessly then. So how much of Islam is in our lives? Today we always hear that we should read Surah Kahf on a Friday. Each one of us asks, who of us read our Surah Kahf today? Our normal tilawat of Quran Sharif, an ordinary person should endeavor to read one supara. For encouragement we say start with one ruku, one page also. But a person should go to one supara a day. And a hafi should read 3 suparas. How many of us did that? How much of Islam is in our lives? Iman will come afterwards. And yaqeen will come afterwards. And ta'alluq with Allah, the nisbat with Allah, we are all very quickly happy. I got nisbat with Allah. But where, that is a very far thing. Where have we got the nisbat of Allah Ta'ala? So our lives, our yaseen, each one asks, if we can see the hadith on the verses of Yasin, it's impossible for a person not to be reading Yasin Sharif. How many of us read our Yasin? How much of Islam is in our life? And without any exaggeration or any aspiration,
When we were eating, how many of us read Bismillah when we started?
Vast majority of us, we don't eat at home.
Normally, at home we are less when we are on our own.
When we with other pious people, then we observe everything more.
But even when we are with our pious people, like we see in the supper,
most of us don't read Bismillah when we start our meal.
In the meal, there will be discussion of everything.
We know sports will be discussed,
politics will be discussed, Palestine will be discussed,
the ulama will be discussed.
If there is nothing, if there is something not discussed, that who gave us this food to make shukr?
Allahumma
lak alhamdu wa lak ash-shukr.
Did we say it? Did we hear somebody saying it? Our whole meal goes, we are one way creating the namath of Allah, but not one shukr to Allah. We are drowning in the namaths of Allah. And we are not only that namath there, what is there, the food, we want the achar also. And we want the chutneys also. And we want the juice also. Everything we want. We are enjoying all that. But not one by mistake also.
Allahumma lak alhamdu wa lak ash-shukr.
Not even the thought goes of thanking Allah Ta'ala. And yet we are good Muslims. We haven't come into Islam as yet. We are just into Islam by name.
Forget the dead one. Allah Ta'ala says
that don't say that you have become, that you have brought Iman.
So say you have brought, we even Islam, we are in Islam, but Islam hasn't touched us. Just because, and where we are poor, just because our outward form, I got beard, I got kurta. And that is those people who are coming to the masjid. And the other people who are far away, dressed in their bermudas and dressed in their funny ways and doing all with their torn jeans, etc. And then trying to prove all that, to wear torn clothes is sunnah, to wear patched clothes is sunnah. Eh? And to wear bermudas, that we are having, wearing our clothes well above the ankle. We're keeping the zulfa. It's all for fashion, and what we say is sunnah. But the other sunnah, not one other sunnah in the life. So we, how we bluffing, how shaitan has kept us, that we thinking, and when the reality will open in the cover, Allah Ta'ala have mercy on us, there will be no escape from there. And nobody will be able, we won't be able to look aside for any help. Yes, if we hate Islam, Surah Tabarakalladhi is there to protect us. Our namaz, our roza, zakat, hajj is there to protect us. Then we will have to, but that is weak of ours. How much of our ibadat also? Just the names of the ibadat. For us, roza is mainly staying hungry. Keeping roza, what is roza as an ibadat? That is something completely different. How many of us got rozas in our lives? How many of us, we make our tilawat, but we just also, we just want to finish up. We're not getting that release in tilawat. We're not, that I must carry on, carry on. And we in fact make the dua, Ya Allah, give me tilawat in the qabr also. On the day of the, that is my jannat, O Allah. Well, how would my jannat be without tilawat of Quran? What would be my jannat without namaz? That closeness of Allah. So all where we have to get all that into our lives. And there are still many more things. Relationship between husband and wife. How much fighting is taking place. And if there isn't fighting, the disloyalty. My husband has got relationship and contact with other women. The wife has got contact with other men. Where is the sincerity? In everything we are so weak. And when it comes to our zakat, for example, how many people openly ask that the goods that are not selling in our shop, if we can give that for zakat? Whereas it comes that you must give the best for in the zakat. To give what is the best, but we want to just get rid of what things are, which are useless to us in any case like that. It has got no value. Parcel mal, goods which are not selling, they just we're just carrying them all the time, taking up space, no customers for it, that we would want to give away in zakat. And we will give it to people who don't need it also. And we will give warm jacket, jersey in hot summer to the people, just to get it off our shelf. Away is the love of deen. And we haven't tasted it. When a person enjoys
that the food that he's supposed to eat, he's somebody else, he gives it, and when he sees that person eating, he gets that enjoyment more than what he should have eaten it himself. Today, to spend our money is so hard. And all this is our great weakness of our yaqeen. Otherwise, spending money in the path of Allah is more enjoyable than keeping the money. Hazrat Maulana Yahya Sahab, the father of Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahab, every night after Isha, the only place he kept his money was in his pocket. No safe or anything, of course no bank account or anything. And on his way home, he should make sure the last cent he could go. And he said, I don't want to go and sleep tonight with this burden on my head. And they should get, they were there, the iman was of that level. Now we just passed it, the iman was of that level. So we are quite happy that with the lowest iman. And whether that iman will save us from Jahannam also, we not worry. Well, what will happen in the Qabr? Allah give us tawfiq to bring the sunnah into our lives. Not just to be thinking that I'm alright, but to really see that I am alright. Otherwise in the Qabr, we will be all alone. On the day of Qiyamah, in front of everyone, we will be taken to Shah. So Allah give us tawfiq to become conscious and work. This little time of this dunya Allah has given us is not to waste it on sport. Not to waste it making comments about other people. Also, there's all problems which are arising, whatever, or the differences of the ulama and all that, all these conditions which are coming, Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. We made each one of you a test for the other person. We want to test what your attitude will be. أَتَصْبِرُونَ. Will you observe the commands of Allah? Allah is watching whether you're going to pass the test or not, whether you're going to now fall into backbiting, gossiping, slandering, finding faults, etc., or whether you're going to be doing the right thing, whether somebody has done wrong and you can speak to everyone in the world about it. It's on the social media, but you don't go and tell him that what you have done is wrong. Correct your way. We don't go and tell him, we will tell the whole world. Is that the solution to it? Or quietly, in a nice way, go and explain to him what you have done is wrong. You shouldn't have been doing this. If we can't get somebody not to splash his guna and make it known, but somebody who can go and tell him and explain to him. So, what are we? And we are still so happy we are in peace. Allah give us all tawfiq, guide us to righteousness.